Morning to you. Thanks for joining us again.
A pleasure as always, Gerry.
Now, Caroline, politics comes into a lot of our legislation in terms of how it's drafted up for workplace employment and relations and different kind of elements of what an employer must do, what an employee must do. We've said it several times on the slot, there's been a raft of changes that have come in, and we're now seeing a little bit of political rollback on that with regards to the costs involved. It just goes to underline, I suppose, employers out there are dealing with a lot of changes over a short period of time. Is that what you're hearing from them when they contact you looking for help?
Yeah, absolutely, Gerry. I suppose most of, as you know, the employment law that comes into effect in Ireland comes from Europe. It's European employment law. But we do have influence over things like the national minimum wage, setting statutory sick pay, and a number of those, I suppose, factors have come into play, particularly with the increase in national minimum wage, to, I suppose, drive up costs, particularly for labour-intensive businesses like restaurants, cafes, hospitality businesses, etc. So many of those are really finding the pinch as a consequence. So there's talk now that, for example, the increase in statutory sick pay may get postponed from January 2025. So again, there's a long way to go between now and then. So we'll keep listeners updated as we hear more.
Yeah, we will. Look, one of the issues we talked about in the programme this week, particularly in hospitality as well, Caroline, was the issue of a shortage of staff affecting some companies. We have headlines about the HSE's recruitment freeze on the public sector side of things, but just something that occurred to me in terms of what businesses are trying to do, and it's allied again to that cost of doing business increase, and sometimes you don't have the money to hire an extra staff member when you are busy because of the costs involved. What does that do then, or how does an employer or employee deal with the increased workload or maybe increased duties? Like, if you're on one side of it from the employer's point of view, look, I'm trying to keep my business going, I can't either, number one, afford to hire someone new, or there's nobody out there available with the skills to do the job, so my existing staff need to step up to the mark and do extra work or do different things. And then from the employee's point of view, saying, look, I'm not paid for this, this is way over and above my normal job. How does that get worked out?
I think it's back to what's realistic, and ultimately there's got to be give and take both from the employer and the employee perspective. But in many businesses, they're really at the kind of maximum productivity already, being honest. And, you know, I think there has to be a realistic approach taken to, you know, what additional responsibilities a staff member can genuinely take. Because in many businesses, if the overheads don't add up, then I think we have to really reassess margin, because, you know, it's got to be worth the business owners while taking all the risk linked to being self-employed as well as everything else, you know. So it's really a rock and a hard place where you've got minimum margin businesses that, you know, employers are trying to constantly, you know, try and maintain that profitability to make sure that it's worth their while to keep going. So I do think, you know, people have to look at the overall business rather than just thinking that they can continue to put on more responsibility all the time, when eventually it'll be the straw that breaks the camel's back and you'll have no business in the long run.
Yeah, you won't. And then it's a very finely tuned balanced thing for the employee needing to work because the business might fail and they'll be out of a job, or the employer putting too much pressure on their existing employees and then the standards dropping, or worse, them leaving in an already tight labour market.
Absolutely. And look, it's culture of any company now, you know, it's all about trying to attract and retain the best staff. And that's got to be in an environment where people feel that they're being fairly treated, they're being looked after. And I think in that environment, no doubt about it, we've seen employees go the extra mile and, you know, be very accommodating and, you know, very fair. But equally, you've got to, I suppose, balance that with the fact that there's potentially lots of other opportunities out there for people. So, for example, we know coming into the tourism season, for example, there's going to be a lot more jobs than there is going to be talent available, particularly in Kerry. So therefore, employers need to be making sure that they're, you know, giving the best opportunity in terms of culture, in terms of salary and benefits, and in terms of flexibility around hours, etc., to try and attract the best staff.
Okay. We have one query in here, Caroline, and it's from somebody who feels, oh, this is a number of years on, but they feel that they weren't given an opportunity to return to work by their employer after COVID-19 lockdowns and restrictions were lifted. They didn't do anything about it at the time, but still feel there's an issue there in terms of, let's say, the employer using, or this is how the person feels, using the possibility to move on from their employment, using the COVID situation in order to effectively terminate their employment. Do they have any grounds to stand on?
I suppose the COVID, I suppose, pandemic now, you know, there's a lot of time that has lapsed since then. So we need to remember that an employee, if they have an issue, it's 6 months from the date of a contravention.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is there a statute of limitations on these things, whatever the issue is?
Yeah, so 6 months from the date of contravention and up to 12 months if there is reasonable cause as to why it might be longer. But, you know, there's quite a long period of time since most staff have returned to work. So I would be concerned that that person might be outside of that timeline. And also, I suppose, it's the employee's obligation as well, I suppose, to go back and to check in and to see, you know, what's the story about me returning on the basis that everybody else in that organisation would have returned as well. So unless the person was on certified sick leave or some other type of leave that's a statutory leave entitlement and they're only going back now, that probably is something that, you know, it doesn't add up, Gerry, I suppose, from the perspective of the amount of time that has lapsed in the interim.
Okay, can you ask, Caroline, how many breaks are you allowed on a 12-hour shift and what length should they be?
Yeah, so break entitlements in Ireland are in line with the Organisation of Working Time Act. And if you're entitled to a 15-minute break after 4.5 hours or a 30-minute break after working 6 hours. So the 15-minute and the 30-minute can be merged once they happen within the 4.5 hours. So that's basically your break entitlement for that period of time. So it depends on how long, I suppose, people schedule those as to when the breaks occur. And the unusual thing in retail is people are entitled to a 1 hour break, you know, which is an unusual one between 11:30 and 2:30, and that's an old rule that's there and it's still in place. We also have seen the introduction, Gerry, of breastfeeding breaks for employees, which is only a new piece of legislation for the first 2 years of the baby's life. So people are entitled to a 1 hour break to do breastfeeding, which can be broken up or it can be taken as one slot. So they're the break entitlements.
Yeah. And that retail issue, is that a legacy from historically what happened in that industry? Because in the modern world, you'd imagine with retail especially, you'd want the shop open at lunchtime. So if you give all of your staff an hour off, it can create difficulties for the employer.
Yeah, completely. And it's back. It's an old, you know, part of, it's linked to the Organisation of Working Time Act, and it specifically references shop workers. Most employees don't want an hour, by the way. They want the half an hour and they want to finish earlier or whatever, because most people don't have a lot to do in the hour other than eat their lunch. But it's a historical one that's in there, Gerry, yeah.
Yeah, and is it down to the employer to, does it have to be reasonable, I suppose, the employer saying, well, this is the time it suits for me or suits for you, or is it a negotiation thing, as long as they give you the time allowed at some stage in the 12-hour shift?
No, you have to give the breaks. So after 4.5 hours, somebody has to get in a 15-minute break, and after 6, they have to get a half hour. So you can't leave all the breaks, for example, to the end of the shift and somebody finishes early. You have to give them within those timelines.
Okay. All right. This is an interesting one, Caroline. I have an employee whose work performance is very poor. I have tried to raise these issues in a constructive and professional way, but this person says they feel triggered and this is affecting my mental health. I back off because I don't want to be accused of bullying, even though I'm totally not.
So I suppose the legislation clearly says that giving constructive feedback in a professional manner in relation to somebody's performance is not bullying. So that, I suppose, it's specifically called out in the legislation. So I suppose the important thing in this scenario is that the manager or the business owner in this case makes sure that the feedback they're giving in a very constructive way, and they're giving in a very professional way. So once they're doing that, and normally it's no good just telling somebody they need to improve. It's explaining, you know, what is it that the difference they need to achieve is. So, for example, you know, the quality of work needs to improve, and be very specific as to what that means, and then check in with them again in a week's time to see has that improved.
This program is a repeat. Please do not call or text in. Email your comments to kerrytoday@radiokerry.ie.